Ask Give Him a Call.
This is Ask an Attorney, all about Ask Florida law attorney. With attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal Ask question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. Open early on a Saturday morning just for you. If you have a legal question of any type or just a problem of any type, all you have to do is to call the number, the 877 number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. And phone lines are open. Your question can be about wills, trusts, probate, guardianship, power of attorneys, healthcare surrogates, living wills. Can be just about any area of the law. And if you have a legal question, all you have to do is to call. Or if you just have a problem, then you have to be a legal question. Just like to help you if I can. And the purpose of the show is to help you if I can, and other people that are listening might also gain some benefit, and it could possibly help them. So you could possibly help a lot of people by calling, including yourself, if you have a legal question or a legal problem. 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. So I'm broadcasting today from Jacksonville. We have offices here in Jacksonville. Also, you're listening on multiple stations around Florida. We have offices in most of the counties where that carry the show. So we have several offices in Pinellas. We have several in Hillsborough, Polk, Manatee. We have offices in Central Florida at the Villages, Claremont, Leesburg. And offices in up the East Coast there from Daytona to Jacksonville. So if you have a legal question or a problem of some type, just give us a call. We'd be more than glad to help you. Our first caller today is Greg from Jacksonville. Hey, Greg.
Yes, good morning. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question. My wife has a judgment for child support, and the minor is now an adult. So what she now has is a judgment, but it's for the arrearages that were never paid. My question is this: the person that owes the money is a beneficiary to a trust, and the trust is still his mother is still alive. I read somewhere where there's some judgments or some liens that are enforceable and others that are not. And I guess what the confusion is at what point can she start to make a play to getting this?
A creditor, so your wife has the judgment, and who has the trust, her mother?
Her ex-husband's mother.
Okay. All right, so the person that owns the trust, the creditors cannot get to her trust even though your wife is the beneficiary.
She's not a beneficiary. She's her ex-husband is a beneficiary to his mother's trust.
All right, well, let me make this simple. Anyone who owns a trust that has a list of beneficiaries, if any of those beneficiaries have creditors, those creditors cannot go against the person who owns the trust. Now, when the person who owns the trust dies and the beneficiaries receive their money, then their creditors could possibly come get the money. But the person who owns the trust doesn't have to worry about the creditors of all the beneficiaries.
Because of the spendthrift provision, correct?
No, because they own the trust and it's their asset and they could change the trust at any time. So it's possible the beneficiaries will never even receive anything. And just because they're named the beneficiary upon the death of the person who owns the trust doesn't mean a creditor has access to the trust while they are living.
Okay, but what if he is receiving payments from that trust?
It still doesn't matter because that person owns the trust.
Okay, well, I under the there's something called the Uniform Trust Provisions. Does that sound familiar?
But it's real simple. If I own a trust and I've got a bunch of beneficiaries in my trust and some of them have creditors, none of those creditors can come get the assets in my trust because I'm the owner of that. I'm not the one in debt. I'm not the one that has a creditor. I own the trust. So even though I have a bunch of beneficiaries in that trust, now if some of the beneficiaries somehow or another are receiving income from me while I'm living, then the creditor that's out there is only going to have access to the income received by the beneficiary.
All right. Yeah, that's what I thought. And while that person may be receiving the income, the person who owns the trust could actually change the terms of the trust.
They could, actually, yes.
Okay. So it may not be a good idea to make a play on that trust in any way until...
Well, the creditor's not going to get anything. They're going to be wasting their time, basically.
Yeah, okay. That's what I wanted clarification. Okay, great. Great
right.
show. Thank
all right.
you so
Thank
much.
You. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
If you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Let's go to Ken in Jacksonville. Hey, Ken.
Hey, Joe. I've got a deed from the sole heir of an intestate estate, but it was never probated, and I guess I've been listening to you long enough, I should have known I have to go through probate.
Okay, you've got the deed. So you own a property that you received from an estate, and the property now is just in your name?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you
no
still,
other heirs.
Well, it's still not too late for you to create a trust to put the property in.
To do what?
It's still not too late for you to create a trust to put the property that you own into your own trust to avoid probate upon your death. Are you with me? Did we lose you? You can call back. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. If you have a legal question, or Greg, if you want to call back, I'm not sure what happened to your phone there. 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. So we broadcast every other week from Jacksonville. And again, we have offices here. We broadcast every other week, we broadcast from Tampa. That's our flagship station, Salem Communications, and those stations that carry the program are 570, 910, 860, and 930. They're all AM stations shooting out in all different directions out of Tampa, covering a good part of Florida. We also broadcast on 90.3 FM in Orlando. I have broadcast there for over 20 years, and that station is owned by Landmark Baptist Church, and they also have Landmark, the Bible College there, part of the church as well. That was the proud beneficiary of an honorary doctorate degree from that college. We have offices in Manatee County, down in Liquid Ranch, we have offices. Sun City Center, we have offices. We have over 15 offices around Florida. And if you have a legal question, you can come in. We don't charge for the first appointment to chat with you or to review documents, particularly the estate planning documents you might want to review from other states or so forth. There's no charge for that. We have a fee schedule on our website at www.attypip.com. Let's go back to Ken in Jacksonville. Ken, are you there?
Yes, I'm here now.
Okay, good. So you received a deed from an estate, right? Is that what you were telling me?
Yes, but it never went to probate.
Well, then you may not have ever received it then. You can't receive something from a deceased person. You can't receive something if it never was transferred to your name in some manner. If it's still, you didn't really receive it, it's still in the name of the deceased person.
Well, their sole surviving heir in an intestate estate, it went to them and they deeded it to me.
Well, the sole surviving heir, how did they obtain ownership? Was it through joint with right of survivorship? Was it a life estate deed?
By being the heir, the sole surviving heir, without a will.
But then it must have gone through a probate proceeding.
Not yet.
Well, then they may never have been the owner. I think somebody's gone, we'd be glad to look at the county records or look at the deed that you have. And look back on the deed to see if it was properly transferred to you.
All right. So where's your office in Jacksonville?
Well, we're at 814 A1A, but you need to call for an appointment to get to me at that office. Why don't you, I tell you what, if you call me off the air, I'll get your name and address in the county the property's located in, and I have one of my staff members do a little search on the property and see what we can find out.
Okay.
Do you want to email me your phone number and ask me to call you?
Yes, sir.
All right, so my email address is simply Joe, J-O-E,
Joe,
at A-T-T-Y,
P-A-T-T-Y, okay.
Yeah, P-I-P.com.
P-I-P.com.
Yeah, if you could give me the name of the address and just a little note that we talked on the radio and that you wanted me to check out the ownership of this property online.
All right.
So I need the address and the county the property's located in.
All right. I'll do that. Thanks, sir.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Let's go to Attorney John Frazier. John is on our staff. He's the Medicaid elder law attorney. And if hey, John, how are you? If you have any questions for John while he's here, we'll try to do two at one time. So let's, John, what are we talking about today?
Two potential strategies for restructuring and protecting assets in order to reach the $2,000 Medicaid asset limit.
Mm-hmm.
There's two types of real estate that are exempt. The Florida homestead is exempt up to $585,000 for an unmarried person. And if you have a spouse or a minor child living there, there's no limit on the Florida homestead. Also, rental property is exempt, either owned by the Medicaid applicant or the spouse. So if you have extra countable assets and you can make repairs to both of those types of properties, a new roof, carpeting, countertops, wallpaper, any types of construction, landscaping, burglar alarm, you name it, any amounts of money that you spend on those types of properties, that's a way to convert your countable assets into non-countable assets. Then you can also purchase personal items for the properties, countertops, furniture, anything that you wanted to put in the house would all be fine, computers, televisions, eyeglasses, dentures, and hearing aids, all those types of things would be exempt assets. So there's a variety of different ways that you can shelter your assets in order to reduce your countable assets and reach the $2,000 asset limit.
Yeah, so I guess the bottom line here is a person with money that would not qualify for Medicaid can spend that money on home repairs, a car, can even do a rental home, which doesn't count as an asset. But the income stream from the rental home could disqualify them. So you do how do you deal with that, John?
Well, if you have Florida has an income limit for the Medicaid applicant of $2,313 a month. So let's say that you have $1,500 a month in Social Security and $2,000 a month in rental income. That most likely would put you over the income cap. And the reason I say most likely is for rental income, you're allowed to withhold property taxes, property insurance, maintenance fees, and a lot of times those will end up, you know, being maybe 50% of the rent. So if the gross rent is $2,000 a month and you have all those expenses that are deducted out and the net rent is only $1,000 a month, then you have to look at the other gross income sources to see whether those two amounts are going to exceed the cap of $2,313 a month. If the income exceeds that amount, the Medicaid applicant will need what is called a qualified income trust.
Okay, John, you do Medicaid cases from all over the state of Florida, correct?
Yes, I've had cases all the way up in the Panhandle, all the way down to Miami, and everywhere in between, Jacksonville, Orlando, you name it. And I've completed in excess of 2,500 Medicaid cases successfully. I have not yet taken a Medicaid case to an appeal. Obviously, I can't guarantee my results, but we thoroughly screen each case to make sure that we can project that the person will meet the three eligibility requirements for Medicaid. So we don't accept all cases. We thoroughly screen each case with a free case evaluation process. And if there's something in that case that we can't fix, we will not accept the case for Medicaid planning.
All right. So anyone who's on private pay might benefit from a free review from you to see if there's a way to move things around a little bit and qualify for Medicaid. So how can they contact you to obtain that free review, John?
The office number is 727-586-3306, extension 104. My cell phone is 813-431-3193, and my email address is john@attypip.com. And I would say that if you have a family member or know anyone who is paying privately in a nursing facility, the average cost being right around $9,100 a month, I've actually seen some facilities charging in the range of $12,000 a month. You should definitely explore this, because even if you've got $1 million, you know, over a 10-year period, that's $1 million that's going to be spent. So it's very important to take a look at these planning opportunities while we still have them available. There's nothing on the horizon to suggest that these planning strategies would go away, but, you know, with the federal deficit, it's possible that things could change in the future.
All right, John, thanks so much for calling.
All right, have a great Saturday.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, if you'd like to contact Mr. Frazier, you have a possible Medicaid situation, you have a family member, loved one, or even someone you know in a nursing home who might be able to save some money there. His number office number is 727-586-3306, extension 104. His cell number, 813-431-3193. Let's go to Joe in Largo.
Good morning, Mr. Pippin. How are you today?
I'm doing good, and you?
Okay, I hope it's a simple question. I have collected over the years some firearms, and I was thinking about, someone mentioned you should put them into a trust. Is there a firearm trust or something?
Yeah, we can. We could create a special gun trust for you to save your heirs any future problems from receiving guns. Yes.
Okay, now, every gun that I put into the trust, is there a fee attached to that?
No, sir.
So I could just put all of them in there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And what's your flat rate on that?
Well, I would probably try to figure out what you have, because there are special types of guns that you can have. You know, do you
have no automatics. But
no automatics?
I do have a silencer.
A silencer, okay. It's around 750.
Okay. And that protects them, and then I can put a beneficiary and.
Yes, sir.
That takes care of that. Okay, sir. I appreciate
your info. All right, thank you.
Have a good day.
All right. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. If you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Let's go to Dan in St. Petersburg.
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
My sister called me. She's near on the retirement age, and she's looking at a ladybird versus a trust for her reason, saying is she wants to be able to stay in the house until she requires medical care and has to exit to something else like a nursing home. And I told her, based upon what I've heard from you, that the trust would prevent her from having to go through probate, and why not do that? But she's kind of stuck on this ladybird thing. I'm not sure what to tell her.
Well, the ladybird deed, you know, she does a deed from her to herself, reserving a life estate in the property, and upon her death, there's a beneficiary. The and that would avoid probate. However, I think a trust is better because on a trust, she does a deed from her to her herself as trustee of her trust and names a successor trustee and names beneficiaries and has contingent beneficiaries. And plus, if the property somehow or another had to be sold while she was living and in the nursing home, the successor trustee could do that. And it's much more difficult to do that with a life estate because really nothing happens until you pass away. And life estates do not usually have contingent beneficiaries, and there have been some title issues with title policies and so forth with the Ladybird deed. So I think a trust, by my in my way of thinking, is far better than a Ladybird deed.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate it. That certainly helps clarify for me. Hopefully he'll clarify for her. Appreciate your time.
Well, listen, you're listening in St. Pete. They do rerun this show on the 570. You're listening to 570?
Yes, I know 570. I use it.
Yeah, they rerun the show on 570 Sunday at 5 p.m. So you could ask her to listen to the show around 520 tomorrow, and she can hear the answer for herself.
All righty. I appreciate it.
All right, thanks.
Take care.
All right, again, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. We're about halfway through the show. You have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. Let's go to Patricia in Clearwater.
Good morning.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing just fine. I'm calling concerning a lease. I have a rental apartment. It's a senior living area. And originally, my rent was $597, and when I signed my new lease on April 1st, I knew at that time that it was going up, and it went up $52. So I signed that lease, and then now I got another letter saying that my lease is it's changing; it's going to go up another $26. And so, which would make it $675. And I was, being as I signed the lease, can they change that, your rental amount in the middle of
Well, it depends on the fine print and the lease agreement as to what rights the landlord has to increase the payments for whatever reasons. So there's probably be some fine print language in the lease itself that would control your question or the answer to your question.
Okay, where it tells me my amount, it says unless modified by addenda, you will pay the $649 per month. So the unless modified, is that where would they?
Well, why don't you ask the landlord to show you or tell you the paragraph in the lease that allows him to increase the payment. See what he says.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Let's go to Joan in Davenport.
Hello.
Hey, Joan.
I've got two problems. We went bankrupt about 16 years ago, and the Bank of America took the motorhome back. Now they're trying to charge us. What do we do? We have called them. They won't talk to you. They're charging us $12,000 for about 16 years ago. And is there anything I can do? I know Bank of America is a big company, and they're hard to deal with. What do you know?
Well, how are they charging you? Do they send you a certified letter or something? How do they notify you?
They're taking it out of our bank account. And we stopped that because we, you know, but we don't want our credit to be ruined. And it says installment loan. We don't have an installment loan with them. And we've heard, you know, people talking about Bank of America and other banks, you know, getting money later on. And they were taking like two payments out a month on us. We have a regular, a charge card. And then they have an installment loan. We don't even have the motorhome now. And I was wondering, what in the world can we do to them? I mean, we have called, and nobody will talk to you.
Well, what I would do, if you've done everything you can do yourself, you know, you don't have a good result, you need an attorney to be your advocate and try to intercede for you.
Yes.
So I have an attorney you can talk to. His name is Jim. So I can give you the number if you want. We have an 863 number. We have offices
just,
there in Davenport.
Just a minute, okay? Just a minute.
All right. So it's 8.
Just a minute.
Yeah, ma'am.
I'm in
you,
the car,
I
so
can't.
I'm trying. Okay.
863-422-1370. He's extension 116.
Okay. And
he does. Go ahead.
Got another question. I had an elderly guy I watched for 25 years. I was in his will, but when he moved to Texas, his daughter made him move to Texas, she took the money, and I didn't receive it. He died 3 years ago, and he had me in his will.
How did she take the money?
Well, I guess maybe she had him to sign that, but he said, "You're in my will because you took care of me so many years, 20 years," and she never came but every weekend.
All right, so here's
not every weekend, but once a year at Christmas time, we took him to the hospital, the doctor, and everything.
Here's the deal. A will doesn't always control everything. So, for example, if he put her name on the bank account, you know, him or her, then she, when he died, the money was hers regardless of what the will said.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's one example of how the will might not have controlled the money.
Oh, okay. Now, could you give me that number again on that other one?
462-1370. Extension 116.
Extension 116. Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joan.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. You're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. If you have a legal question or just a problem you'd like to call in to discuss, try to get some direction, a little help. You have a toll-free number to call the radio station, 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. And I'm going to wish my mother a happy birthday today. So, Mom, happy birthday. Love you. And we're going to be together tomorrow night for a little birthday celebration party, so look forward to that. All right, let's go to John in Tampa. John, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Okay, it's partly criminal and partly IRS related. Can you help me with that?
Well, the criminal law, I don't practice criminal law, but I do have a criminal law attorney that we refer cases to.
Well, it's not a case. What happened is I was barred for life from the Hard Rock Casino, but there was a series of events that took place that occurred to. But what my question is can they do that? Are they allowed to do that?
Well, they can't discriminate, but. I'm sure for some reasons they could, but this would be a good question for my criminal law attorney.
Okay, how about the IRS part?
And what's
during this time, I won a little over $400,000.
Mm-hmm.
But to be honest with you, what happened is I got incarcerated for 8 years, and I never paid taxes on that $400,000.
Mm-hmm.
But the money's gone now. So how can I go about making adjustment to that?
Well, they have enrolled agents, and they have other types of people that can work out a payment plan with the IRS. So you probably need to talk to one of those to work out a payment plan if you want to try to make good now on the money and work out a plan. Has the IRS come after you at all?
No, they haven't.
Yeah. So then you meet with an IRS, you meet with a CPA or one of these companies that give you tax relief and work out a plan with the IRS.
Okay. What about the number you have for the attorney that can help me with?
Do you have access to email?
Okay.
Do you have access to email? Or send me an email. Ask me to forward your email to the criminal law attorney. And put your name and phone number in there, and I'll forward to him, and he should give you a call.
What is your email?
Joe, J-O-E, at A-T-T-Y-P-I-P dot com. So it's Joe at A-T-T-Y-P-I-P dot com.
I got it. Thank you.
All right, John, thank you. All right, if you have a legal question, we have about 20 minutes left in the show. If you want to call our toll-free number, it's 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open, and more than glad to try to help you with a legal question if I can. So I had a question this week about whether or not the person wanted to know whether or not they should create an LLC or a living trust, was the question. And so the answer was, I'd ask a few questions to be able to answer that, but generally people create LLCs for asset protection. So if you, for example, are a contractor that builds houses, if you are a landlord that rents houses, you have a business where you want to incorporate, have a different entity for asset protection purposes, and you create an LLC or corporation, an S corporation, a C corporation, or you have some type of entity that you want to be working a business and then not be sued personally for your personal assets. So you would create an LLC or a C corporation or S corporation to have, so if some activity within your business causes a lawsuit or a creditor, they can only come out against assets in that business and not you personally. So then if you created a living trust, see, each of these has its own purpose. If you create a living trust, you can transfer your interest in your LLC or your C corporation or your S corporation. You can transfer that to your business along with your other assets. And the purpose of that document is to avoid probate on all of those assets. But if you're in some type of business where you're worried about creditors, you can create an LLC or an S or C corporation to protect against your personal assets being sued. And you can also create a living trust to put those things into a living trust along with your other assets. Now, let's suppose you are a married couple and one of you has the business. And you create LLCs to protect your assets. Then the husband and wife would have a joint trust, and the one who has the business would have an individual trust, and then they could put their, you can put the your business interest, your LLC, your S or C corporation into the individual trust. You could leave that then to your spouse, and then if the spouse is not living, to your other heirs. So businesses are part of estate planning as well. And so all of that becomes very, very important. I had another question this week about whether or not it would be worth a trust, even if you just had a homestead, your real estate. Yeah, because our minimum fee for probating a homestead or real estate petition to determine homestead and so forth through the probate court to transfer it, we charge like $2,500. So if you're a single person, you can do a trust for $695 to avoid the probate process. If you'd like to call our office, the toll-free office number is 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. I have a request from our producer to give the phone number out that I gave for the Davenport phone number. Again, which is 863-422-1330, and it's extension 116. All right, so let's go to Don, who's calling. Hey, Don.
Hey, Don. Hey, this is Don. Hey, I appreciate you taking my call.
So where are you calling from, Don?
We're calling from Beverly Hills, Florida.
Beverly Hills, okay.
Yeah. We just recently moved here from West Virginia, and we've got into a scam, I guess, moving scam. They give us a bid about $2,400. The time we got down here, and they held our furniture for ransom, I guess. Ended up costing us $6,800. That was 4 weeks ago. They delivered our stuff, but they only delivered about two-thirds of it, and they can't find the other third and don't know where it's at, and they won't take our calls. And we got online and found out a lot of people have been victims of a moving scam. So we ended up paying up $6,800 in cash.
Did they require
they
cash?
Cash or money order. They wouldn't take a check.
Okay.
And then they come in. They could tell us about $2,400. Oh, you got more stuff than what you told us. Well, we had a few more items, yeah. But then he said it was, instead of $2,400, it's going to be $4,700. So we bit the bullet and said, okay, I guess we don't have any choice. And then the movers show up, and the movers say, oh, no, you got way too much stuff. We got square footage now instead of pieces. It takes up too much square footage. So now the bill's $6,800. They got our furniture on their truck, and they take it to New Jersey to a warehouse and put it there until we send them another $3,500 to get them to bring the stuff to Florida. And then when they got here, we owed them another $1,000 or $1,100 and had to pay that before they wouldn't take it off the truck. So we got ripped off. It should have cost about maybe $3,000 to make that move to more stuff than we had. Our stuff probably not worth $7,000 altogether. So we're kind of between a rock and a hard place. They won't take our calls. They won't give us any satisfaction. They did at one time offer us $200, which was a slap in the face. And we just don't know what to do about it.
I would call the state attorney and file a complaint.
State attorney.
You could also, I don't know if they're licensed to do business in Florida, you know, may or not, but well, we find out where they are do you think they're incorporated?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Do they have a bill with an address on it?
The guy that we talked to in New Jersey that set it up, he was very nice, very pleasant. Now he won't even take our call. He's all of a sudden, he's not there.
Okay, we can meet with an attorney. Attorney will figure out where they're doing business out of. You might have to file a lawsuit in that state.
Yeah, they're doing business out of New Jersey, I believe.
Yeah, so you might have to sue in New Jersey. You might be able to do it in small claims court. The limit in Florida is $5,000, where you can kind of do it yourself court and get a judgment, but then you got to collect on the judgment, so it just sounds like a big mess. But
we've got to the point where we just want to throw up our hands and say, you know, screw it, and we're done with it. We don't even want to talk about it anymore. And then I heard you on the radio this morning. I thought maybe you could get.
Well, I think you've done all you can do. It sounds like you got a bad deal here. It sounds like they are acting like criminals. So you need probably an attorney to be your advocate and go to bat for you. You might want to follow a complaint.
The same people that moved us down aren't the same people that unloaded us. Matter of fact, they stole probably a very valuable coin collection I had when they were moving us. I didn't think to take it out of the drawer.
Do you have a receipt for all the stuff that they put on the truck?
Well, I know. They wrote it all down, but when they started carrying it out, nothing got checked off, nothing got marked, and when they started bringing it in, there wasn't even a checklist for us to mark it off, so we don't know what we didn't get. We know of some of the items. We got a $5,000 bedroom suit we can't use now because the bed rails that go to it are somewhere else.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I
appreciate you listening.
All right. Well, no problem. I would call the state attorney at least and have them investigate this group because they're probably doing it to a lot of people.
Lots of people. We saw it online, all the comments. Every one of them was the same. They ripped us off. They said it'd be this much, then it turned out to be that much, and they held our property hostage until we pay that. You know, it's just
No wonder somebody go postal.
Somebody needs to take them down.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right.
Hey, I appreciate you listening to me. Your name is?
Joe Pippin.
Joe Pippin. Thank you, Joe. Have a good one.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open, and we're only open for about 10 more minutes, but you have time to call at 877-943-9673. Again, phone lines are open at 877-943-9673. If you have a legal question, you can certainly call in and be more than glad to help you. I've been a host of Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law for since 1984, 35 years now. I believe it's the longest running continual radio program in Florida. I haven't heard of anybody who's been on the air every week continually for that long. It's also nationally syndicated for 2 years. We were in 39 states and 77 cities. All across the U.S. with the same type of format, Ask an Attorney. So I'm glad to be here, glad to continue on doing the show. I could be doing other things on Saturday morning, but, you know, I like doing this, so here I am. All right, let's go to John calling. Hey,
John. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a resident of Sarasota, and I'm considering obtaining a medical marijuana card for anxiety and PTSD, but I'm concerned about gun ownership, the guns I currently own, and if I would be forfeiting my right to purchase weapons and or ammunition in the future.
Well, that's a great question. I haven't tackled that one before yet. So I'll tell you what, if you send me an email with that question, I will either get you an answer or give me permission to forward it to my criminal law attorney, who also knows a lot about guns.
Okay.
And he can give, why don't you phrase your question, give me permission to send it to the criminal law attorney, and either one, and one of us will get back to you with an answer. And then I'll talk, then I'll try to talk about it next week a little bit, because that is a good question. I don't believe you lose any rights to own guns. You have a concealed, when you have a medical marijuana card, I don't believe you own, you give up, forfeit any rights to own guns. I don't think you, if you have a concealed weapons permit, I'm guessing that that's no impact there either, but I certainly would like to look up the answer so I can figure that out for myself as well. You know, so I'm sure somebody else is going to ask me that question sooner or later, so. So my email address is Joe, J-O-E, at ATTYPIP.com.
Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Let's go to Joe in Largo.
I forgot to ask you a question. Can you guide me to a military attorney concerning discharges?
Well, I can tell you how to find an attorney like that, yes. So go ahead and send me an email about that.
Okay.
All right.
At,
Joe at ATTYPIP.com.
Okay, got it.
All right.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you. Let's go to William in Tampa.
Good morning, Joe.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for my call, and thanks for your service to the community. We have prayed for you, too. My question and then the scenario. How would you best recommend that we speak to the condominium owners that live above us? In the last 2 years, about every 12 months now, there's been a water leak from their unit into ours. Our insurance has covered it. We've paid out of pocket. One of the leaks was right about the cost of the deductible. What would you recommend?
Well, do you know what causes the leak?
Yes, yeah. One was a water heater. Another was a hole in a pipe that drained down. And the second incident, they denied as being their own until we brought in a plumber. And then they were surprised that water actually flows downhill instead of up because they thought our own bathroom was causing the water to drain from their unit down into ours.
This was a pipe inside the walls, though?
Yes, it was just under the sink and flowing down the wall.
But the pipe was inside the regular wall, not the sink cabinet, but inside the regular wall?
That's correct.
Yeah, okay. There's some question about who's responsible for pipes inside the walls in a condo. I believe the condo association might have that liability. The water heater, that's probably their responsibility. But I would send them a letter outlining the damage that you've received and the money you paid out of pocket and ask them to reimburse you. And then assuming they don't do that or voluntarily do that, you might have to get a letter written by an attorney that'd be willing to take them to small claims court to be reimbursed for the damages.
Okay, yeah, that sounds pretty reasonable.
Have you talked to the Homeowners Association group about the...
Yes, we know fully that everything within the walls is our responsibility. We understand that. The Homeowners Association is responsible for more of the common piping that brings the cold water into the unit. So this has been well established as being a matter of the residents or the owners to pay
for.
Yeah,
well, you can take them to small claims court for under $5,000.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we've wrestled with that a little bit since we're seeing this occur on an annual basis, and we know that this unit is a little bit older. We might expect either a little better maintenance or that there would be another problem occurring, hence the reason that we want to try to talk to them on a preliminary basis.
Yeah.
They've already indicated that they not only don't want to pay, they really don't want to talk to us.
Yeah, so an attorney you might hire an attorney to write them a certified letter.
Okay, very good.
To make them know you're really serious.
Yes, that would be good.
Okay.
Just a minute, my spouse is trying to get my attention with the question. Oh, my wife was wondering if we would be able to go to court ourselves, small claims.
Yeah, small claims, that's designed to do it yourself.
Okay, great.
All right.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for your help. Have a great weekend.
You too.
God bless.
Let's go to Rose in Haines City.
Good morning, Mr. Pippen.
Yeah, Rose, I'm doing good, but we're down to about a minute left, I think.
Yes. Okay, quick question. My husband recently passed away last week, and he did have a will, everything is left to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And since everything was put in my name before he passed away, do I still have to file his will?
You file the will, but there'd be no probate of the filing of the will.
Okay,
so there's a statute in Florida. Yeah, well, we can file it for you if you like, but there's a statute in Florida if you're in possession of someone's will, should be filed within 10 days.
Within 10 days.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Pippen.
All right, thank you.
Have a good weekend.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. If you have a legal question, you can listen in next week, or you can call our toll-free number during the week if you want at 1-800-226-3529. If you want to make an appointment, have us review estate planning documents or other matters, you can call for an appointment. We have offices, several in Pinellas, Polk, Manatee, offices in Lakeland, Davenport, Claremont, Leesburg, the Villages, Jacksonville, Lakewood Ranch. We have offices in Trinity. You can call our toll-free number 1-800-226-3529. 1-800-226-3529. Go to extension 200. You want to email me, it's Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. Happy birthday, Mom. I'll see y'all next week. So long.